Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the latest edition of Inside the Huddle. Today we are going to kick off our fall camp preview. We're going to look at the top five storylines we have going into fall camp. We'll be joined by our writers TJ Inman and Nick Holmes. My name is Sammy Jacobs, and we're going to get you started. Nick, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Sammy?
I'm doing great. I had a little bit of a frustrating day yesterday with work and everything, getting everything scheduled, but it's a new day. Football is one day closer, so no complaints here. It's sunny, not raining, not a cloud in the sky, so the outlook is great. We're going to welcome in TJ. TJ, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday morning?
I am fired up. We are in August. Things are getting close. This feels really, really nice to talk about actual training camp or fall practice or whatever you want to say, opening up, because that means the season really has begun. The games haven't begun, but we can say we are officially into the 2015 season.
Yeah, it unofficially kicked off last week in Chicago. IU opens up practice tomorrow. Nick and I believe, will be down there. It's at 2:15. We'll have all your coverage. We'll talk to Wilson. That's all they'll give us. But anyway, some storylines we have going in. My top storyline, or one of them right now, is who replaces Jayshon Harris. Harris was lost in June for the year with an ACL injury. There are several guys who could step up into that slot position. Wilson mentioned guys like Mitchell Page and Ricky Jones and some of those other guys to step in. Nick, who are some of these younger guys that will step up into Jayshon's place?
Yeah, I mean, the first two guys you mentioned, Mitchell Page looked really good during the spring, had some good plays in the Cream and Crimson game. Ricky Jones, like you mentioned, is finally healthy. Looks like he's going to be able to play a big role. Last year, he seemed to be a little bit out of place on the outside, so the slot seems to be more appropriate. Damon Graham, former walk-on, has some experience in the role. I really like the idea of sliding Dom Booth down into the slot. I think it makes a lot of sense for a couple reasons. He played the position in high school, and the team looks like they're going to have quite a few bigger options for the outside receivers, whether it be Patrick, whether it be Westbrook or Cobbs or Hawkins, for that matter. And then the two incoming guys, Mike Majette and Isaac James, there is some possibility that they might be moved to the other side of the ball. However, if they stay on offense, they look to be good candidates to slide into that slot spot too.
Yeah, they're definitely a couple candidates. TJ, what's your take on Jayshon and who replaces him in the slot?
Yeah, I mean, I think losing him is a blow, but I think that IU is better equipped to fill in at that slot position than they would have been last year. I do like the idea of Dominique Booth sliding in there. I think that could be a good change of pace for him. I think that his physical size, which, you know, for people that aren't familiar with how he looks, he's a pretty well-built guy. I think his physical strength could really aid him going across the middle in the slot. And one thing that I really think you have to have, the slot receiver, two things. One, it's going to be a quick ability to get off the line and make a quick cut on those inside slant patterns. And two, it's going to be reliable hands. Dominique Booth did not show the reliable hands all the time last year. But, you know, that's something that I think in the offseason we know he's all the receivers have been working on, obviously. Mitchell Page is another guy. You know, he's only 5'7", but he's pretty well built. He's like 200 pounds or 190, something like that. But Mitchell Page, another candidate there. I think if I had to pick who I think is going to start at that position, I think I'd probably pick Ricky Jones. Like Nick said, there are bigger options on the outside, and Kevin Wilson has made it pretty clear that he wants to have more size on the outside at wide receiver, which I agree with. I think having as many sub-6-foot options as they did last season really hurt Nate Sudfeld's ability to get the ball outside to guys that ended up being smaller targets than what you'd like. So I think having guys like Marquee Hawkins, Nick Westbrook, Leon Thornton, maybe Kameon Patrick, we'll see about that. But I think having those bigger guys outside will allow for Ricky Jones, Dominique Booth, and Mitchell Page to be the primary slot guys. And I'd probably rank it right now as Ricky Jones, Dominique Booth, and then Mitchell Page third. But I think that all three of them will probably have options. You mentioned Mike Majette and Isaac James. It just seems to me like both of them will be tried out at defensive back first.
Yeah, and the great thing about – I was talking to Nick on my way back to from Chicago was that the matchups it could create using Dominique Booth at the slot. He's a bigger receiver at 6 foot. He's not Simi Cobbs at 6'4", but usually in the slot lately, IU has had that 5'7 guy or 5'9 guy with Shane Wynn and Jayshon Harris, where maybe if you get a team who has a smaller defensive back who Booth can match up against, you start Booth. I don't want to say it frees up, because losing Jayshon Harris is a big blow, but it does give you some more matchup things that you wouldn't have maybe otherwise didn't think about without having to move parts around. So if you wanted to go have a big receiver set, you could slide Booth in there. If you wanted to go, if you have a bigger, slower safety and you wanted to go with Mitchell Page or somebody quicker like that, I think that's you know, a good option for IU. All right, we're going to move on to the second storyline. It's probably the biggest storyline is Nate Sudfeld's health, but I think his consistency is a bigger storyline. He was inconsistent last year. He hasn't really put a full season together. He was splitting time with Roberson in 2013. Freshman year, 2012, it was him and Cam Kaufman splitting time. Last year, he missed 6 games with an injury, but he was inconsistent. He threw for 111 yards against Indiana State, came back with a great game against Bowling Green, backed that up with another good game against Missouri where he threw for 252 yards, didn't turn the ball over. I think Missouri forced a turnover in like 45 straight games, 42 or 45 straight games, and they took care of the ball there. And then he came home against Maryland and laid a stinker, and then came back with another good game against North Texas before going down against Iowa. So I think his putting it all together is the key for him, and he is the key for the Indiana season. If he goes down or he can't, you know, I'm not asking him or fans shouldn't ask him to throw for 350 yards every day or every weekend, but, you know, take care of the ball. Hit 65 to 70% of your passes. Throw for 25 to 30 touchdowns. I don't like to throw around the word game manager because it has such a negative connotation, but he needs to manage the game better. Be the guy who distributes the ball to your receivers. Use some short and long passes. So that's my second storyline. TJ, we'll start with you. What's your feeling on Nate Sudfeld this year?
Well, I think you definitely illustrated the roller coaster that first half of the season was. We've talked about the reasons why that could have been. And, the wide receiver inconsistency was a big part of it. Maybe they just didn't have we know that they did not have the size that they wanted at the wide receiver position outside of Simi Cobbs. And I don't I don't think they ever really developed a connection between the quarterback and the wide receiver group the way that it has to be at this level of college football. And it showed when they really struggled to get any kind of rhythm. So for me, it's about two things. One, efficiency from Nate Sudfeld. We can put target numbers, and I think it's going to be important that he does produce very well and produces pretty prolific numbers. They don't have to be, you know, the numbers that we see from kind of those top elite quarterbacks, but they do need to be good numbers. But I think the bigger thing is going to be the efficiency. You mentioned completion percentage. That's what it's going to have to be, because IU is going to have him completing, I would say, 65 is a pretty good benchmark for him to get to. If he can get above 65% completion or somewhere very close to that, then I think IU's going to feel good about being able to keep the ball moving, keep moving the chains, keep the offense on the field, which means the defense is not on the field, and that's going to be a good thing. So I think it's efficiency from Nate Sudfeld, and then to help that out, it's going to be consistency from the wide receivers. We've talked about that all off season. It has to be better, and taking that step all off season is what they've been trying to do, is to get the better connection, catch the ball better, run better routes, all that stuff. If the wide receivers can be more consistent, I think it'll help Nate Sudfeld out a lot. But yeah, he needs to take care of the ball. He needs to be more efficient, no doubt.
Yeah, Nick, what's your take if we haven't touched on anything yet on Sudfeld?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have hit on a lot of the high points. I think, you know, the one biggest thing for Nate coming into this season, he is the guy. You know, even up until about midsummer last year, Roberson was still in the mix. So he's known for a full calendar year that I'm the guy, this is my team, I'm the leader. And, you know, he had the speech at the Big Ten luncheon last week, did a great job with that. So you can tell that he has a lot of confidence. And it's just about making the most of these next 4 or 5 months. He has an NFL body. I know it's a little bit early to talk about that, but, you know, the next few months could go a long way in determining not only the trajectory of this program, but also the trajectory of his potential pro career.
Yeah, it's spot on. And you'd say IU will live and die with Nate Sudfeld. That brings me to my next storyline. Two of them are kind of, I know one of them we didn't really want to talk about, but one of them is fan support. And it's something that if you've watched a game on TV, an IU game on TV, you've seen camera crews get a little creative on how to cover the games in the second half as they try to avoid giant splashes of empty bleachers and empty sections. Fan support, I think, is very important. It's how the football machine works. It's how they make money. It's how they pay for the athletic department. It's how you pay for the other sports. It's how you pay for facilities. It's how, you know, how you garner interest in students. And if students have a great time at some of these games, then they're more inclined to come back for homecoming as alumni. Or if they're local, they come down every other Saturday or every Saturday. So fan support to me is huge. And this year, the home schedule is awesome. If I was a fan with season tickets, man, it would be an awesome home schedule. You get Ohio State and Michigan at home after two straight years of playing them on the road. You open up with three straight games. You have Southern Illinois, which, you know, it's not a great draw as an opponent, but it's a game where IU should put up a lot of points and look good and be fun. And it's a 4 o'clock game, which is awesome. You get the whole afternoon for tailgating. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn to make it down in time for kickoff. You might get home a little bit later, but I feel like some people might be more comfortable staying up later than getting up early. You have FIU, which is a night game at 8 o'clock. Those games are always fun. Western Kentucky is a very quality opponent coming in. That game, if you're a betting man, take the over. And if they go under, then, you know, whatever, I give up. If they go under, you know, if the game starts 14-13, I'll throw my papers up in the air and say I give up. But anyway, that'll be a fun game. You have Rutgers for homecoming, a 3:30 game. So fan support, if IU wins, if they start out 2-0 and then beat Western Kentucky, go 3-0, you could see a couple sold-out games here, and with the majority of IU fans. I know Ohio State will bring, you know, a lot of fans down there, as they always do. And maybe it, instead of being 60 to 70%, maybe even 80% Ohio State fans, if IU goes into that game 4-0, maybe it's 50-50. So, you know, fan support, it's a fickle group of fans. And you know, you can only take so many heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losses before you just say, you know, it's not worth my time. But hopefully the fans do come out. The athletic department does put on some fun stuff for the students and build that back up. What are your guys' views on that? We'll start with Nick.
Well, you know, for the longest time, Indiana was always called a basketball state. And when the Colts started becoming relevant, they had no trouble filling up the former RCA Dome and now the Lucas Oil Stadium. So I think if you – and we've said this all along, I mean, it's fairly obvious. If you put a winner on the field, the fans will come. Like you said, IU football fans have been burnt in the past. So, you know, try to mend and build those bridges back with the fans. Get to a bowl game will be the quickest way to kind of – recoup that fan base that you've lost over the years.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add. I agree with what you guys have said. It's all about winning games, and if they can win games early, then I think the support is going to be there until they're eliminated from bowl contention.
Right, and it brings me on to my fourth storyline. It's something that probably has been beaten to death by us. It's Kevin Wilson's job security. It is year five. We all know the numbers. He's 14-34 and 6-26 in the Big Ten. He now has all the players on the roster have been recruited by him. There has been no bowl games. It is do or die time, in my opinion. And, you know, he laughed off the question a little bit at Media Day. And he joked about coordinators, the coordinator contracts, and how good they are. And you need a sense of humor like that. It's a high-pressure job, and if you don't have a sense of humor, you're going to end up pulling all your hair out and driving your head through a wall. And whatever, him joking about that, that's fine. You know, you need that sense of humor, and it makes him look more human. But this is – there's – no two ways around it. This is a big year for Wilson and a big year for the program. If they get to a bowl game, you could build off of that. Recruiting will come back up. That 2013 recruiting class has kind of fallen apart here. You saw David Kenny and Antonio Allen have left the program. LaRae Smith, who is another three-star prospect in that class, has left. You know, Darius Latham is still there, but that was the crown jewel of Kevin Wilson's accomplishments right now, and it's been kind of picked apart. So, quickly, guys, what are your takes on Wilson being on the hot seat? We'll start with TJ.
Yeah, I think there's nationally, I don't think anybody notices, which is saying something about the program, but. I think regionally, I think most people understand that Kevin Wilson's seat right now is, I don't know what the word would be, simmering, maybe. Definitely not boiling at this point. But I'd say
I would say
simmering.
On fire, but...
Okay. All right.
It's almost in flames.
Well, all right, that's fair. I don't think that a regional perspective on it would be quite so hot, but I am probably wrong. I guess I look at it as he has really put everything in place to get to a bowl game. It's just a matter of doing it. And my opinion on that's not going to change until after the season. So for me, it's a pretty clear line in the sand. Either they get to a bowl game and you feel good about things moving forward, you give them an extension of a couple years and you see what happens, or things fall apart a little bit, you don't make it to a bowl game. The only kind of complication would be, let's say they, you know, only win 5 games, have a couple of heartbreakers, look really competitive in it. Are you really going to fire him because maybe the ball bounced the wrong way on a reverse or something like that? Maybe an example would be, you know, IU comes up 2 yards short against, against Maryland or something and ends up with 5 wins instead of 6. Is that going to be the difference in him keeping a job? I don't know. I guess we'll talk about it if we get to that point. But I think the line is pretty clear as to what he needs to do to keep his job. And I hope he does, because I think he has the program moving in the right direction in terms of overall talent. And that's what I look at, is the talent top to bottom is so much better than what it has been in the past. That doesn't mean that they're going to get there, because maybe he's not a good enough coach, maybe he's not a good enough developer of talent, or maybe the staff mix just isn't right. But I think overall, the level of talent in the program is to the point where they can succeed and win 6 games. It's just a matter of going out and doing it. And all we can do at this point is wait to see if that happens. I don't think there's really much else to say on it until we get to the end of the season or have a loss that we weren't expecting that changes the trajectory of things. But right now I'd say we're hoping they get to 6. And if they do, then we'll reevaluate things. If they don't, then we'll reevaluate things. But right now, to me, it's very clear what needs to be done.
Yeah, the writing is on the wall. The goal is there of a bowl game. He needs to get to that 6th win, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you getting to – there's no reason – IU has the infrastructure. They need the administrative support. But there's no reason that they can't be a team like Iowa, who, you know, goes to bowl game 3 out of every 4 years. That 1 year, maybe, you know, after a transition year, you reload, get 5 wins. And then, you know, when you have that senior team and a couple other teams are down, you could push for 10 wins and a surprise berth in the Big Ten championship game. But, yeah, the writing is on the wall as far as goals that need to be met. I agree with you. His seat is not on fire, like I said, but it is somewhere higher than at a simmer. It's might be a little bit uncomfortably hot right now, but if certain things go the wrong way, if they end up losing to Western Kentucky, which is all possible, especially with the question marks they have in the secondary, which is going to be my 5th storyline. If Western Kentucky comes in and drops 60 points on IU, it might go downhill fast.
Sure.
They come back with a tough game with Wake Forest, and really 2-0 could then turn into 2-4, and the wheels have fallen off the bus. Nick, what is your opinion on all of this?
Well, Sammy, you know, I'm kind of the eternal optimist when it comes to stuff like this. So the team is currently undefeated, the way I see it. So,
all right.
You know, honestly, you guys both make valid points. There's very little way that he can go into next season without an extension. There's no way you can recruit with just 2 years left in a contract. So either, A, you let him go, or B, you extend him for a couple more years. Now, like you both said, a bowl game at a minimum seems to be what he'll need to get to at least get that extension. There might be a couple ways, you know, they beat Ohio State and they come up short in a couple toss-up games. You know, maybe they get close to Iowa and they barely lose that game and end the season 5-7, but they beat a good opponent. I think that shows a lot of character and a lot of growth. Obviously, the talent on this roster is as good as I can remember in the 20 years that I've been following IU football, at least on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, it's just kind of a wait-and-see approach. West Kentucky is a good gauge of how far the team's come. If they win that, I think that things are put in the right direction. If they lose, well, there are still some Big Ten games on the schedule that I think are at least 50-50 shots for the team to at least find 6 wins on the season.
Yeah, I think wait and see is the is the right way that we're going to, well, I won't say it's the right way to look at it, but I think that's the way I'm going to choose to look at it is, for now, I think you assume they're making progress. If something like, yeah, having Western Kentucky put up 60 on them, or going to Wake Forest and losing to the worst team in the ACC, or something like that, if that happens, or they fail to win a Big Ten game, or something like that, yeah, obviously that would force a reevaluation, but for now, I'm going to just wait and see how the games play out, and then see what the administration decides to do, but I think their choice by the end of the year will be pretty clear.
Yeah, well, another side of this is if he is successful and he does go to a bowl game, and that's what, you know, Hoosier fans are always rooting for, is that maybe that coordinator wasn't actually a joke and that he has interest in bolting IU and going somewhere else. He does. You got to remember, look, his roster turns over next year. You lose Sudfeld, you lose a couple other key pieces on defense, and maybe he says, look, I took IU to bowl game. I'm leaving you in a great spot, you know, in terms of talent there, even though you don't have a quarterback. But maybe he goes somewhere else and takes another job as either a head coach or a coordinator. That's the other side, is that it's the percentages in my head are that in 2016, maybe IU is probably 55-45 that, or maybe higher than that, that they're either way, they might be looking for a head coach after the season's over.
I don't have any inside information or anything like that to look that far ahead. I'd be much more surprised if he took another coaching position as opposed to getting let go by IU. I wouldn't say shocked, and I do understand what you're saying, and that's definitely a possibility, but I'd be pretty surprised if he left IU after making a bowl game. But, you know, if he really overachieved and won 8 or 9 games, then I would say, hey, thanks for everything and take whatever job you want because this was awesome. So if that's what ends up happening, then I will give him a theoretical hug and let him go on his way if he chooses.
Yeah.
He will have earned it,
Sure. Yep. Well, when hiring Wilson, in my mind, was that Coach Wilson wouldn't end his career in Bloomington. That's just not the job IU is. I do realize it's a stepping stone job into better opportunities. So, you know, I don't see him playing out his career in Bloomington. So maybe, you know, there are two sides. Either if they don't go to a bowl, I think he's out. And if they do go to a bowl, I could see him very, very potentially leaving for another position. Anyway, we have a couple minutes left. Another concern, our fifth and final storyline, is the secondary. They talked about it at Media Days. They're replacing four starters. They have Chase Dutra back. The talent might be better, but they are still very young. They have freshmen and sophomores on the two deep, and it's tough to have those athletes. And corner is probably the hardest position to recruit. You need a guy who's mentally capable of picking himself up because you're going to get beat. No matter who you are, you can be the best in the world, you're going to get beat. So you have to have a guy who can recover mentally and is athletic enough to stay with these receivers in the Big Ten. So, Nick, we'll start with you. What's your quick take on the defensive secondary?
Yeah, I think we've kind of hit it all summer is that they're going to have to grow up fast, and by week 3, they're going to have to be ready to play, or like your hypothetical 60 points might happen. I'm not saying it's likely, but, you know, if you're getting beat deep and beaten across the middle, there's a chance that 60 could be up on the scoreboard at the end of that Western Kentucky game if secondary doesn't grow up.
Yeah, a couple names as we enter camp for me that I'm going to be kind of seeing where they're at. Noel Padmore, Ben Bach, Donovan Clark, Tyler Green. think those guys really are looking at that second corner spot. I think Rashard Fant will end up being the first corner. It's not a guarantee, but I think he'll end up there. I think those four, with Noel Padmore being the current favorite for me, with then Bach, Clark, and Tyler Green right behind him to rotate, because you're going to play a lot more than two, but I think those are kind of the four guys I'll be looking at in camp. And then in safety, Keontae Walton, Tony Fields, Jonathan Crawford, you know, those three guys, with Walton probably being the favorite, but there's a lot of playing time available in that secondary, so it's going to be a really important camp for that group and the new joint coaching responsibilities to figure out playing time to start the year.
Yep. Anyway, guys, we are out of time. We'll have all your coverage. Thanks for joining us today, Nick. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow down at practice. Thanks for joining us, and TJ, we'll keep keeping on. Don't forget, we're going to move to an hour show in the season. In the season, and we'll have a pregame show, a live pregame show, and at D'Angelo. So keep a lookout for that. We'll have all your coverage throughout fall camp. IU's Media Day is Saturday. We'll be down in Bloomington covering that. Otherwise, keep your comments coming. We love the tweets. We love the comments. We love talking IU football. So thanks for your support, and we'll be back on next Wednesday.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard,
We think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.